Never, he squeaked. The pain stopped.
Of course he won't,
boomed an expansive voice behind him.
He's a hero, isn't he?
Rincewind turned and looked into a pair of hairy nostrils. They belonged to a heavily built young man, hanging nonchalantly from the ceiling by his boots.
What is your name, hero?
Said the man.
So that we know who you were.
Agony shot up Rincewind's arm. I'm Rincewind of Ankh, he managed to gasp.
And I am Leo Dragonlord,
said the hanging man, pronouncing the word with the harsh click in the back of the throat that Rincewind could only think of as a kind of integral punctuation.
You have come to challenge me in mortal combat.
Well, no, I didn't.
You are mistaken, Oysadra. Help our hero into a pair of hook boots. I am sure he is anxious to get started.
No, look, I came here to find my friends. I'm sure there's really no... Rincewind began as the dragon rider guided him firmly onto the platform, pushed him onto a seat, and proceeded to strap hook boots to his feet.
Hurry up, Khoisadra! We mustn't keep our hero from his destiny,
said Leo Trt. Look, I expect my friends are happy enough here, so if you could just, set me down somewhere...
You will see your friends soon enough,
said the Dragon Lord airily.
If you are religious, I mean. None who enter the Wyrmberg ever leave again, except metaphorically, of course. Show him how to reach the rings, Khoisadra.
Look what you've got me into, Rincewind hissed. Kring vibrated in his hand.
Remember that I am a magic sword, it hummed.
How can I forget?
Climb the ladder and grab a ring,
said the dragon rider.
Then bring your feet up until the hooks catch.
He helped the protesting wizard climb until he was hanging upside down, robe tucked into his breeches, Kring dangling from one hand. At this angle, the dragon folk looked reasonably bearable, but the dragons themselves, hanging from their perches, loomed over the scene like immense gargoyles. Their eyes glowed with interest.
Attention, please,
said Leo Trt. A dragon rider handed him a long shape wrapped in red silk.
We fight to the death,
he said.
Yours.
And I suppose I earn my freedom if I win, said Rincewind without much hope. Leo Trt indicated the assembled dragon riders with a tilt of his head.
Don't be naive, he said.
Rincewind took a deep breath. I suppose I should warn you, he said, his voice hardly quavering at all, that this is a magic sword. Leo Trt let the red silk wrapping drop away into the gloom and flourished a jet-black blade. Runes glowed on its surface.
What a coincidence,
he said, and lunged. Rincewind went rigid with fright, but his arm swung out as Kring shot forward. The swords met in an explosion of octarine light. Leo Trt swung himself backwards, his eyes narrowing. Kring leapt past his guard, and although the Dragon Lord's sword jerked up to deflect most of the force, the result was a thin red line across its master's torso. With a growl, he launched himself at the wizard, boots clattering as he slid from ring to ring. The swords met again in another violent discharge of magic, and at the same time, Leo Trt brought his other hand down against Rincewind's head, jarring him so hard that one foot jerked out of its ring and flailed desperately. Rincewind knew himself to be almost certainly the worst wizard on the Discworld, since he knew but one spell. Yet for all that, he was still a wizard. And thus, by the inexorable laws of magic, this meant that upon his demise, it would be Death himself who appeared to claim him, instead of sending one of his numerous servants, as is usually the case. Thus it was that, as a grinning Leo Trt swung back and brought his sword around in a lazy arc, time ran into treacle. To Rincewind's eyes, the world was suddenly lit by a flickering octarine light, tinged with violet, as photons impacted on the sudden magical aura. Inside it, the Dragon Lord was a ghastly huge statue, his sword moving at a snail's pace in the glow. Beside Leo Trt was another figure, visible only to those who can see in the extra four dimensions of magic. It was tall and dark and thin, and against a sudden night of frosty stars, it swung two-handed, a scythe.